Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, everybody out there. Thank you so much again for tuning in. I know we're an hour off schedule, but oh well, it's better late than never. Good morning and good weekend, good everything. So happy to have you again. We are really looking into the tenets of the world and what's going on. I know many of you send emails asking about these topics. Where do we get the topics from? Who sends or gives the information? Who's behind the information? Well, guess what? Whatever the topics are, you need it. Your family needs it. And those in the community surrounding you need it. So as to live a life, not of chaos, but a life leading to peace. Today's topic is look for tents of prayer in your city. Does your city even believe in prayer? Well, I tell you what, we're going to find out, because the International Platform for Peace is assembling giants all through and across the nation, enabling those that want prayer, need prayer, want to live a prayerful life, and of course been praying but nothing's been happening. Those people want answers, and they want it through prayer. Believe it or not, people might not have a religious affiliation, but they all agree, we need prayer. So we have again today a former chief of police, now minister, Dr. Reverend Colonel William Harrison. I beg him every week, and he's saying, you know, Doc, if you're on there and you're doing anything good, I want to be a part of that. So I'm very happy to have Dr. Harrison with us. But now let me kind of segue into a little subtopic information. People all over the world are seeking answers to life's problems. You know, they're electing officials to get some answers. They're running to hospitals so that doctors can give them some answers. They're, of course, still tipping in the church doors to try and get some answers. They're even moving back home with mom and dad trying to get some answers. But so far, no luck. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the suicide hotlines and other such like organizations are reporting skyrocket calls and contact from grieving and depressed Americans. What is wrong with the wealthiest nation on earth? What is wrong with the GPA running into the trillions for the American economy? We're rich. We're wealthy. We can go to the grocery store at 3 in the morning and buy what we want. But what is happening? What is the reason for this upsurge? So I know Dr. Colonel Harrison also has some answers, but we're going to lean heavily on mental health and a lack of family communications today. And I'm saying that even though our topic has to do with tents of prayer coming in your city, well, nothing else has worked. So these tents of prayer, I think, is really on the mark in America and, of course, beyond. Colonel Harrison, you're a minister, and I'm leading you toward that area rather than you being just an average Joe American man. As a minister, our topic is talking about tents of prayer. Do you think America and those beyond America is in need of prayer? Do you think with so many turning now to prayer that that's going to be an answer all or do all for our problems?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Capitina and audience. Thank you for inviting me again. With respect to tents of prayer, Dr. Capitina, I think that's an excellent venue. I think we should move forward with that, because what is happening, prayer has been banned from schools, our public schools and school system. Prayer has been banned from government buildings, local, county, state, and federal. And so prayer has been removed across the board. Unfortunately, people forgot that those who believe in a supreme being, whether they call him God, Jehovah, or the Great Spirit, or whatever, our only way of communicating with that great being is through prayer, through silent prayer, audible prayer, verbal prayer. Prayer changes things. I believe in what is taught in the Bible, that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous causes much to happen. And so we don't have probably a lot of people praying nowadays. I have a lot of people believing in prayer. Some don't know about prayer. And without the lack of knowledge, the Bible says the people perish. We need to return to prayer. This nation was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles, wherein the founders, many of them that signed the Declaration of Independence, many of those men were clergymen, and most of them were men who believed in God. So we need, as a nation and people, to return to prayer if we want to save this nation. Tents of prayer is an excellent idea across the nation.
Well, it's certainly an excellent idea because, number one, like I mentioned earlier, the polls are saying people in America are turning to prayer. But now here's the situation when that happened. When they turn to prayer, they're looking for something. They're looking for answers to problems. And most of the time when they pray and they don't get what they want or what they wish, they tend to back up. Some can continue believing. But when things that they pray for, ask for, or desire does not manifest, then we have a problem. How can you answer that?
Well, they have to, first of all, they have to believe there's a God. Secondly, when they put forth prayer, they have to believe that that prayer will be heard, providing they don't have any sin in their lives. Prayer works, Dr. Carpentina, and there's no set timetable as to when those of us who believe in God, that God may answer. There's a saying that he may not come when we want him to, but he's always on time. God knows the beginning from the end, the end from the beginning. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's everlasting. And God knows our need before we even go to him in prayer. Because God reads the hearts of men, women, and children. So we have to trust. We have to have faith. We have to believe. And we have to have patience. Patience means that we have to wait until we hear or see a solution to the problem we're praying for. And people don't believe in prayer, most of them. Number two, therefore they don't indulge in prayer. And number three, therefore they don't benefit. Their lives are in chaos because they don't have no solution or anyone to turn to give them hope.
Well, you know, you have people that pray, but they don't believe in God. I've never heard of anything like that before. Reports are showing that people that have no God affiliation, no church affiliation, they have never been known to be Christians or Hindu, they're praying. What God do you think these people are praying for? And to?
Well, that is about as ludicrous a thing as I've ever heard.
It is going on the West Coast.
Yeah, people have to understand, if you don't believe in a God, so why are you praying? Who are you praying to? If you're praying to an idol God can't answer you. Not only can an idol God not answer your prayer, an idol God can't do nothing for your prayer. So it's just foolish. I'm going to seek to believe in that and or someone who I believe that can answer my prayer and help me solve my problem. Idol God is just like worshiping an inanimate object. It can't respond to you. It has no ability to help you. It has no ability to minister unto you. So they got to turn from that foolishness. That's a waste of time to pray if you don't believe in God. And to those of us who believe in God, this is what I say to the congregation. If you pray, don't worry. If you worry, then why pray?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, this sounds like something going on in the early days of ancient Israel. Whenever they wanted rain or whenever they wanted to defeat their enemies, they would start praying to wood gods. God made out of wood, gods made out of stone, God that couldn't see, feel, or hear. Does this sound similar to what is going on in the 21st century?
Yes, yes. They prayed to idol gods. And as a result, they fell out of grace, grace meaning the favor of the true and living God, and plagues and curses and all kinds of abominable things came upon them. So there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what I believe in. I trust there are many others that still believe in the same. So we got to turn this thing around, Doc. The only way we're going to turn around, I think, is the outreach concept and program of tents of prayer, getting it out in these communities so people can see that there's an opportunity, that they do have an alternative. There is hope, and they don't have to unnecessarily just perish. So we got to get the tents of prayer and any other resource of avenue we can get out there to reach people and try and save our nation.
Well, it certainly needs to be saved, because you have individuals that are not really representing any particular religion, and they're going around making claims that the faith-based community, who I guess you guys espouse prayer, you know, on a daily, nightly basis. But some of these individuals, one of them is the illustrious Tabitha Smiley. He was in the city of Los Angeles on yesterday at the National Day of Prayer meeting. And it was predominantly attended by tables of police, tables of firemen, tables of heavy lifters from various corporations. I mean, it was, my God, almost a star-studded crowd, overflowing. I think they ran out of tables, and someone came down the aisle saying they ran out of food. They didn't expect so many people there. National Day of Prayer in the city of Inglewood. And the guest speaker, as I said earlier, was Tabitha Smiley. And while he had a lot of good stuff to say, one of the statements caught my attention head up. And it was that he said the faith-based community have made a mistake. They weren't on their job. They haven't been on their job. That's why we have so many problems going on, and that God left the faith-based community in charge, and they have let the nation down. They've let Los Angeles down. And as he was talking, tables of ministers, because each table had a placard there to show you who was sitting at that table. Tables of well-heeled, very intelligent ministers, some of the most mightiest churches in the greater LA metropolitan area were there. They all stood up and clapped when he was saying that the church need to get on their job. It's almost too late. You guys haven't done what God told you to do. Now look at the mess we're in. Martin Luther King would turn over in his grave. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther turned over in his grave. And on he went, and he was cheered. Standing ovation. The host had to try to calm the crowd down, because they were clapping his praises for saying that the church has us in the trouble we're in now. And we're talking at a prayer breakfast. So if they felt that he was talking about the truth, how do you view that with the topic here talking about tents of prayer in your city? Certainly needed here in Los Angeles.
Doc, I'm taken back that anyone would try to broadly condemn churches and pastors. First and foremost, I wonder if they have a church home, and if they have a pastor. And if they're not a pastor, they're not qualified to speak against pastors. The Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged. A few pastors may have stumbled, a few pastors may have made mistakes, but the majority of churches in America, without regard to denomination, are small churches. The least amount of churches are the mega churches. And I'm not sure who he was condemning, whether it was the mega churches, whether it was medium-sized churches, whether it was small churches. But
no, it was a blanket. No. It was a blanket accusation. The churches, I don't think, and I listened very carefully, I don't think he reached out to one, but he was saying overall organized religion. I don't think he sort of had one particular denomination or church there in line, but he spoke in a blanket confession. I'm not sure that he picked out a denomination, but the whole gamut of organized religion was on his list.
Then the problem I perceive that that he has and I have with his statement as a pastor, he's condemning the founder of churches. And you'll find in the Gospel of Matthew in the Bible, Jesus said to Simon Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So is he condemning Jesus, those who believe that he is the Son of the true and living God? Or is he condemning mortal man who is subject to sin, as he is? I take exception to that, because we need to be working together, building people up, encouraging people. We need to be promoting churches, uplifting pastors. Most pastors are God-fearing men. Most pastors are abiding by the tenets and the principles and the teachings of the Bible. It's just people have sort of withdrawn from the church because they've gotten caught up in the moral realm of material things, seeking instant gratification, and I want this, and I want that, and I want the other, and I want it now. It doesn't come immediately when you come on the auspices of the church, but you have the assurance that if you come, and if you stay, and if you worship, and if you serve, that God will provide. God will take care of those of his people. So I'm saying that I think that's a condemnable statement. I take exception to it. And I regret to hear that he said it, and I'm glad that I wasn't in attendance in that breakfast, because I would have dismissed myself as well.
Well, you know, that's wow, that's a lot in a nutshell, and it sounds very, very, very progressive, and it sounds very, very uplifting for the church community. However, here on the West Coast, the churches are drying out. People are no longer attending them as they did. Churches are closing because there's no more tithes and offering. People are not even thinking about going to church as they were even a year ago. On Sunday, if you travel around in some of our metropolitan areas, people are walking about. The parks are full. People are engaging youth in soccer. People are standing at fast food establishments. They're sitting on park benches eating. La-di-da, la-la-la. That translates nobody is in church. If they're doing all of that from east, north, west, and south in predominant areas, they're not there. So does he have any kind of a valid claim in saying that some of the ministers have lost their way?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. Okay. Well, these people are walking about. So some parts of the statements that he made, and I hear you, we need to look, and I know that's where the tense of prayer is going to come in, because these Gallup poll studies report that if they're not in church, they're still praying. If they're not in an established religion, they're still getting on their knees. Some people are, the majority Americans are, but they don't want to have any part of organized religion, and there's a reason why. And I think we need to explore this coming down the gate. So that's why I'm saying the topic here, the tent of prayer, and we could almost say tents of peace, is very well needed. And I sure hope you become a greater general. You're already sitting at the top of the International Platform of Peace also as the presiding minister. So I know you are interested in those statements, and I know you are interested in love, expressing them. However, Jesus said the truth is the light. Church membership all over the world has disintegrated. There's people on the West Coast that are buying churches, turning them into homes. Every week I'm seeing a beautiful church with stained glass windows turned into people living in them, and you can see them in there smoking and eating their food. It's a lot going on, very trendy in Europe. So I think with the, as you had mentioned earlier regarding prayer, these tents of prayer, they really are needed in these cities. But how do you think mainstream communities will take that? Because you have the Muslims, you have these, I think the Hindu, I'm just seeing a lot of them. You have Catholicism hanging on by a thread. When people come up to these tents of peace, they might ask for prayer, but my goodness, what if they're Hindu and they want prayer. Are these prayers going to be centered on one God or on Christianity? What is the makeup of the people that are going to be praying for the people?
The Prince of Prayer is certainly a great outreach program, Doc, and I encourage that we move forward with that. Prayer is universal. Doc, I recommend that the people who pray to the God of the faith that they believe in. I believe everyone is open to prayer. When I say prayer and everyone, I mean just in general without regards to whether you're Baptist, whether you're Protestant, whether you're Buddhist, whether you're Hindu, or whether you're Islamic or whatever, you know, Muslim or whatever. I believe everyone is open to prayer, and the various denomination, various faith, religious faith, people pray multiple times a day and so forth and so on. So prayer will reach people. And prayer will give people hope, and will help to sustain people and reassure them that all is not lost and all is not wasted. So prayer is the one thing we have in common. A unique thing about prayer is during the first century, 2,000 years ago, in my faith, the greatest man that ever lived, Jesus Christ, had an outreach ministry. He had a public ministry, and he went from town to town, village to village, and country to country, praying and healing and so forth and so on in public. So, again, prayer will work without regards to any particular denomination.
It will. Do you think people of different faiths are going to come to the tent with an open mind that now you're praying to God? But it is not the men praying for you. It's not the women praying for you. It is God that's going to hear that prayer and answer that prayer in his will and in his own time. Do you think they're going to have that kind of a mindset or so what if they don't? We're going to pray and that's that. What is your answer for that question?
Some might be skeptical or reluctant, Doc, but If the anointing is upon he or she who is rendering the prayer, they can capture that person's reluctance, capture that person's resistance, and capture that person's skepticism, because they will be able to hear and feel something coming from the person through that prayer that will connect with their spirit. And I believe that, I know it'll work. I believe it'll work. Through faith, it does work, and I'm encouraging that we return to prayer, and that sense of prayer is a good mechanism and a tool that we can use to as an outreach to reach people who have withdrawn from the church, especially in the California community there.
Wow, my goodness! I think I need to be in that prayer line, and I know others feel the same way. Now, when you start talking about the tents, is this something that the ones desiring prayer is going to have to pay for? Can they just walk up and ask for prayer? Is there any obligation for those coming for prayer?
No obligation whatsoever, Doc. Prayer is free. Salvation is free. Salvation means the deliverance from the power and penalty of sin. So if someone has sin in their life, we can pray for deliverance, that they be removed from that sin, be uplifted from that sin, and that their lives change. And so there is no cost. And if by chance, if someone wanted to make a contribution, a monetary donation to the tents of prayer so that we can purchase additional tents to put in additional cities, additional towns across the nation to help promote the program, fine. But certainly no fees charged for prayer. Prayer is free. Salvation is free. A love for our fellow man, brother, sister, and children is free.
My goodness. Well, then I don't see any problem there with people getting up in the morning and saying, you know, I'm heading down to whatever neighborhood that I live in. I'm going to be looking for these tents. Where do you think these tents are going to be set up? Are they going to be set up in metropolitan areas? Are they going to be set up near church? Where are these tents going to be found in various cities? Would you know that at this early date?
Doc, demographically, it doesn't have to be a major city, or urban city, a medium-sized city. It can be a small town, the nooks and crannies. One of the things that I recommend the approach that we set it up in these areas that's crime-ridden, where people have despair, no hope. People feel that they're down on their luck. They're depending upon the state, social services, so forth, so on. Place it in areas where people have given up hope. It doesn't have to be necessarily a crime-ridden community, but also we can't neglect crime-ridden communities. Wherever we can go to have an impact, to help people, deliver people, uplift people, give them hope, and save people, then that's where the tent should go.
My goodness, I'm just feeling happy all over because, you know, I can see where people will want to come out, not just so much for prayer, but just to come and be around people of faith that are strong enough to even say, here I am, I've asked God to send me, he sent me here under the banner here of the Tents of Prayer. I'm very happy. I think this is going to be something that the community will be certainly looking for. Now, when they get to these tents, I understand you're an author, you've written a very good selling book, you have written a book that's really teenagers to retirees could read and benefit. Will we see some of your books at the actual Tents of Prayer? Will you be offering your books nationwide to those that receive their tents and that are standing for others in the need of prayer?
Absolutely, Doc. Absolutely. The book will be offered to them, and the book is titled Answer to Civil Unrest. The book will be available. If I travel about the United States, they just might be fortunate to come across me. I would love to see me pray for them as well. If that occasion presented and permit itself, for certain, my books will be available to be at the various Tents of Prayer location, and it gives police officers, civic leaders, community leaders, politicians, and everybody hope on how they can work together so we can avoid civil unrest. We can avoid the unjustified shootings that are going on nationwide across the nation, that we need to come together and love one another and support each other and befriend one another and get to know more about each other's ways and our character and our attributes rather than alienating ourselves from each other because of the color of one's particular skin or race.
That sounds very good, but I think all that's going to happen upon Jesus' return. So that's a big, tall order because once we have those expectations, we've got to have a solution for them to actually occur. And I know your book offers a lot of solutions. I've read it more than once, and I'm going to encourage our listeners to do the same. Dr. Harrison, thank you so much again for being on the show. You know, I know it's an effort. We're 3-4 hours ahead of time here from the West Coast. Thank you again so very much. In less than 10 seconds, let us know how we can contact you if we want to get your book before they see the tents going up in their city, those Tents of Prayer.
Sure, Doc. The book is available at Amazon.com. I can be contacted via email, WHARRI1943@AOL.com, and Facebook, William Harrison in Temple Hills, Maryland. And on Twitter, I can be followed at WHARRI_Raptor, RAPTOR. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you. You know, we love having Dr. Harrison with us. Now, you know you can call in. If you have any questions, you can do that. If you want to send a donation, you most certainly can. Send your contact information, and we'll tell you how to get in touch with us so that you can leave your donation or either just have a written question for Dr. Harrison. Please don't hold back. We'll see you next Saturday at our usual time, 8 a.m., on the Dr. Copertino Show. Have a wonderful weekend.